you'd like to take out your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Now, all through this season of Advent, the four Sundays, what we're doing is looking at the different songs that are contained in the Gospel of Luke that concern the coming of Jesus. And you can see on the board there, I don't know if you've noticed that, but that's each of our sermon themes, our service themes for Advent. We're on number 3. Now, the song is actually not by John. It's about John. And Zechariah, whom we just met, sang this song that has really two parts. So last week we looked at the first part of Zechariah's song, which was about God being Savior in Christ. Today we're going to be looking at his song in which he speaks or sings of his son, John, who would become known as John the Baptizer, or sometimes John the Baptist. We're going to read together, beginning Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the 8th day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him." Now let's go down to verse 76, where we pick up Zechariah's song. "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I can't help but wonder, what would Daddy Zechariah have thought of his boy John? I'm quite sure that by the time John began his ministry of prophesying in the wilderness, Zechariah was likely already passed away, because he was an old man at the time of Zechariah's birth, and John would not have started his ministry in the wilderness until he was at least 30 years old. What would Zechariah have thought if he could have seen what his boy had become and what his boy did? Zechariah, you remember, was a straight arrow priest. He was a good, simple, dedicated priest of God who did his duty, who served as he was called, who was faithful to his wife, despite their having no children for most of their lives. And in that society, in that culture, that was a very big deal indeed, and a real tragedy for them. What would he have thought of his boy John, who became a character, to say the very least. Kind of a wild man. He dressed funny, wore camel hair and leather belts. He ate weird things. It says that he ate locusts, bugs basically, and wild honey. He was a non-conformist. He didn't follow the way of the crowd, he went his own way. He was confrontational. He called people out. You might well say that he lacked people skills. But I think that Zechariah would have been impressed with his boy, John. Maybe even a bit in awe of him. Would you even say he was jealous of his son, John? Because John the Baptizer, when he began his ministry, when he revealed himself in the wilderness and began to preach and prophesy, he said things that every preacher would like to, but which most of us are too cowardly to say. "This is the truth," he said. "Hear it even if you don't like it. Change your lifestyle, change your values, and I don't care how uncomfortable that makes you feel. You've got more money than you need. Why are you hanging on to it? Why are you rich people not blessing the poor? You've got a sour face. Why don't you turn that frown upside down? Don't you know that God in heaven is smiling, that he's given you all things? Snap out of it, you people. What's wrong with you? You say that you believe that God has forgiven all your sins? Then why in heaven's name will you people not forgive those who have crossed your path? Maybe people that have inadvertently, maybe even on purpose, harmed you. Why can't you forgive each other, for heaven's sake? Don't you remember how much you have been forgiven? That's what John the Baptist would say. But Zechariah was not a prophet. Zechariah was a priest. He was a priest who wore the prim and proper vestments, who looked and played the part. He went to the synagogue, he went to the temple when he was called, and he served according to decorum. He ate his meat and bread at the dining room table in peace, and his ministry was one of gentleness, one of teaching, walking with people, blessing them softly with the truth. John was not a priest. John was a prophet who spoke not in gentle murmurs, not softly, not privately. He spoke truth loudly and publicly. But like his dad, John the Baptizer served the Lord in exactly the way that God called him to serve. And nothing makes a godly parent more grateful than seeing their kids serving the Lord in the way that he has equipped them and the way that it's called. My guess is that Zechariah would have been happy if his son was destined and called to be a priest like him, carrying out the family tradition. But he knew that that was not the calling of John, who would be known as the Baptizer. And that must have worried him a bit to think that his son was called to be a prophet, because prophets didn't have an easy time of it. Priests, they were the people, the people's servants. And they were everybody likes that. Prophets were routinely confrontational. They didn't say, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Their message was change. You know, we all know we hate change, right? Change happens and we throw hissy fits. Well, if your whole ministry is being a change agent, being confrontational, saying, obey the Lord and not the world like you are doing, then you are not going to be eternally loved. You are going to be feared. Often, you will be hated. Once in a while, you are a prophet, you will be attacked. Zechariah knew that. He knew the biblical story. He knew what had happened to those prophets who were faithful. He remembered Jeremiah being tossed down a well. He remembered Elijah feeling so alone and having the king himself pursue him to kill him. But Zechariah also knew that the world needs prophets. And he knew that God sends them. God sent them in the time of King David. He sent prophets in the time of Jesus coming. And he sent prophets today to people and a world that need to understand that the way things should be is not the way that things are. He sent prophets. To a world and to people who are careening out of spiritual control, who are going nowhere fast except to the bottom, God sends prophets. And through prophets, God speaks today. Have you heard the voice of a prophet? Have you heard someone who was calling you to believe? Speaking to you, even shouting at you to return to God, to live for Him, urging you to be a blessing to those around you. Have you heard a prophet? We need to sit at the feet of John the Baptist. And we need to sit at the feet of others who are called to help us to be ready. Ready for the Lord and ready to prepare the way of the Lord. People that are calling us to level the ground, to clear the pathway so that those whom Jesus Himself is coming to call can hear Him. So that people that the Lord has His eye on can respond and come to Him. But if we are ever to be prophets, if we ever are to have the role where we speak the word of truth to this world, then we need to be prepared. What is it about us that needs preparation? What is it about us that needs change? What is it about us that we need to reorient so that the message of the gospel, the call of the Lord, can be heard with integrity through us? Is it about our values? What is it that we hold most dear? What is our number one? That is to say, what is it that is obvious by the way we speak and act and live is our God? What about our spending? Here we are in the Christmas season. Lots of money I spent in the mall. Lots of money on online sites, ordering this and that. When we look at all the things that we've been given, and we think, how are these being used to really bless people? Do we need a rethink? Do we need to repent of the way we have let our wealth take over our lives? How do we care for the poor and the hurting in our community? And there are many. There are many who are like, why do you think we're having a blue Christmas service next Sunday for people who find life pressing them down with loss or worry or disappointment? Anything that makes them in this Christmas season just realize that life sucks for them. How do people who feel that worship God when it's all joy to the world and bells and next Sunday, we are going to reach out to people who feel the sadness and the sorrow in their lives, confronted by the message of Christmas, and we're going to help them to actually worship God in a way that lets them be honest with where they're at. We have to listen to these prophets. Because life is a journey, and the prophets are the ones who can help us stay true. The prophets are the people who, when we veer off the path, help us and pull us back. Now, when we are ready, when we have examined our lives, when we have made sure that we are fitting instruments for God to use, then we can be prophets. But it's hard. It's hard to be a prophet in an age where faith is privatized. You can believe anything you want, just keep it to yourself. It's hard to be a prophet where respect in our society means don't talk about those kind of fundamental issues of who you are as a person. It's hard to be a prophet in a society where people look down on those who have taken a position of faith and submission to God and His Word. But it is our calling to be a prophetic people, to stand in the tradition of John the Baptizer. Now, what does it mean for us as a congregation? What does it mean for you as a family or as an individual person to have a prophetic ministry? Well, I think congregationally, right, it means that we are oriented and organized and situated and deployed to put that prophetic message out there. And we do that through all kinds of things. Coffee break is a prophetic ministry. Friendship club is a prophetic ministry. Cadets and Gems, the stories of the stones, men at the table, what our cell group ministry, are all parts of being a prophetic community in which we place the Word of God out and we call people to understand it and live by it. That is prophetic. A major thing that we are starting in January is a corner piece for the coming season is Christianity Explored. It's a whole program where we invite people to come to this place, have a meal, watch a video, and discuss what it means about the Christian faith, so that when they understand it and they meet Christians who try to live by it, maybe maybe the Holy Spirit will move in them and they will say, I want to serve that Lord too. And it's a wonderful thing that our church is doing. But what does it mean for us as individuals now to be prophetic? It means to speak and not be silent, to act, to not be immobilized when situations are in front of you that are just plain wrong. When there are things that are disrespectful of people that are leading in a way that is different than the will of God, which is compassion and mercy and respect and joy and hope. When there are things in our world that lead away from that, we as God people need to stop and say, excuse me, but this isn't right. This isn't good. This isn't the way. And dare to speak and dare to act. It means daring to hope and share the hope that we have. To give a reason for the hope that has been given to us. Now, I remember hearing sermons where the minister would kind of rag on about this and say, oh, you all got to be sharing the gospel with your next door neighbor. And none of us did because we were too shy or too timid or too afraid or too busy or whatever reason. None of us did. And it also could be, and this is part of the mystery of this whole thing, that we are all called, I'm convinced, to be prophets, but we don't all have the gift of evangelism. None of us, or not all of us, some of us, but not all of us, have the capacity to simply and clearly and winsomely share the gospel message with somebody who doesn't believe. We don't all have that gift. Some of us do. I do think that more of us have that capacity than are using that gift. I dare to say that. But not all of us do. However, there are things that we all can do. And I'd like my helpers to distribute. I got something for you. There's cards. I'd like everybody in church to have one. So my helpers would distribute them, quickly, so that doesn't. So everybody should have one of these cards, okay? And the reason that you're getting these cards is that we all know people who do not know Jesus. We all do this. So, kids take one, old people take one, middle-aged people take one, everybody. We know people who have not encountered Christ and have not given their lives to Him. Maybe there are people that are in your classroom. Maybe there are people that are in your office. Maybe they're on your street. Maybe they live in your condo complex. But we all know people who do not know Jesus. And think about, just for a moment, think for yourself, who are those people? Got a couple, three in your mind. Maybe they're members of your own family. Maybe they're your kids maybe it's your uncle. Maybe it's the fellow across the street. Now what I want you to do is on that card on the one side, see there's three lines, write the names of those three people. I'm not going to be collecting these. This is just for you. So there's probably a pencils in the pews here and there. Maybe you've got a pen in your jacket. I'd like everybody to write down three names. And I'm going to give you a minute to do that. And we're not going to keep going until you do. So. got three names written down? Anybody need more time? Okay. I have a challenge for you. A request. I plead with you to do this. Christianity Explored begins on January 22nd. For the next month, I will not ask you to knock on anybody's door. I won't ask you to go out of your comfort zone and talk about faith with those three people. Although, if you want to do that, I really would like that too. But I'm not challenging you to do that. I am challenging you to keep that card in your wallet or on your desk or wherever it is that you have your time of prayer. And I would like, I ask you, I plead with you for the next month to pray for those three people. Every day, to ask God to bless those three people. Ask God to reveal Himself to them. Ask God to draw them to Himself. That's it. I am asking you, please, for the next month, to pray for those three people. Every day, just talking to God about them. I firmly believe that God hears prayer. I believe that God answers prayer. And I believe that we and other people are changed because Christians pray. I believe that if you and I pray for our three people, that God is going to do something utterly crazy amazing here at Bethel Church. I believe that God will make us prophets. I believe that Bethel will be a prophetic community. We pray for those three people. If you're willing to commit to a month of prayer for those three people, would you raise your hand? Are you willing? If you can commit, please. And take that as your pledge. And I know that God is pleased. We are going to become prophets, I know. Zechariah sang about his son and how his son would give people the knowledge of salvation. He's saying that his son, the prophet, would shine light on those living in darkness, and that he would help people find the way to peace. I believe that Zechariah was not just singing about his son, John. I believe that Zechariah was singing about you. That we stand in a prophetic tradition. What a glorious song, and what a wonderful Savior who has come to make it possible. Lord in heaven, I ask that you bless this congregation and all of these people. I pray that you will give them the strength, the courage, and the tenacity for this month of prayer. And for all those whose names have been written down, Lord, Lord, we ask that your hand will rest on those people and that you will bless them. You'll bless them with knowledge, that you'll bless them with joy, and you'll bless them with peace. Lord in heaven, be with them and bless them through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.